As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places, Jewish and Christian scriptures, and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to many sources. Today's wisdom comes from Lao Tzu, a mystical philosopher of ancient China. Water is the softest and most yielding substance. Yet nothing is better than water for overcoming the hard and rigid, because nothing can compete with it. Everyone knows that the soft and yielding overcomes the rigid and hard, but few can put this knowledge into practice.
When did you last feel like Joe at the beginning of today's story? Disregarded, impatient, irritable, and lonely? Or maybe your favorite sulks and grumps are different. Mine include overwhelm, anxiety, and panicky rage. What are your favorites? Or if this is easier, what events or experiences tend to launch you into a downward spiral? I ask this to help us remember how sticky these moods can be, how impossible it can feel to snap out of them. There is good animal reason for this. Our emotions are mediated by hormones and neural pathways meant to shape our actions for survival in adverse conditions. Since nowadays running or fighting or freezing is rarely appropriate, the hormones keep circling around waiting for us to act, and we feel imprisoned in a mood that blocks access to our best selves. Today's desert story describes one way back to inner peace and wisdom. A paradoxical way, loneliness healed through solitude. I want to explore and widen this paradox because I think it reflects a larger paradoxical truth about healing and returning to our best selves. Put yourself in Joe's shoes. What do you think would have happened if Joe's father had yelled at her and threatened and belittled her? Would things have turned around for her as they did? More likely, her mood would have intensified in defense against this new opponent. As the saying goes, what we resist persists. This is where the Taoist quotation comes in. Everyone knows that the soft and yielding overcomes the rigid and hard, though few can put this knowledge into practice. Joe's father put this knowledge into practice. Buddhists also counsel a path of inner nonviolence, to accept and befriend unwanted experiences and feelings, and even unwanted aspects of ourselves. When I'm in the grip of unwanted feelings, the last thing I want to do is befriend anything. However, through the back door of my body, yoga helps me follow a semblance of this advice. Each stretch invites me to feel and soften around stressful emotions that I've stored as muscle tension. Each strength challenge invites me to take responsibility for doing what is in my power instead of just complaining. By the time I finish my practice, I've let go of some resentments and premature conclusions, and I'm better able to see goodness and possibility in the world. A classic yoga text names three essentials for practice: discipline, self-awareness, and surrender into a reality greater than oneself. This trusting surrender has intrigued and challenged me for 40 years. I noticed back then that when I teach, make music, or do any kind of work, the more I try to control and manage things, the worse it goes. The more I give up my agendas and let go into listening and trusting and following, the better it goes. Something else seems to come in and help things. I was learning about Christianity at the time, and I saw the letting go of control as a mini crucifixion. You know how hard it is to let go of control. It sounds so easy when it's not you in that moment, but it's hard. And at the flow that comes in its place as a mini resurrection, because it seems so miraculous that something I had no awareness of a moment before is suddenly working through and around me. Over time, I've found that this cycle of resurrection after a willing letting go is utterly reliable whenever I have the courage to test it. It seems to be a law of the universe. Many spiritual traditions have noticed it. We heard from Taoism, Taoists talk about wei wu wei, actionless action, action without action, and how what needs to happen happens by itself when allowed to do so without interference. This all sounds rather abstract, so let me give some examples. First, the backfiring of over-control. Monty Python has a scene where Sir Lancelot swoops in to the rescue of a prisoner, slashing left and right. Blood flows, bodies go flying. When he reaches the prisoner, it turns out the real work has already been done. All Lancelot has accomplished is add to the body count. He had to act, he says, in his own particular idiom. We laugh because it's only a movie, and because we recognize ourselves, or at least each other. How often do I ride to the rescue on my steed of anger and self-righteousness or fear and control and only add to the body count? Recently, out of concern and a bit of micromanaging, I started organizing friends to visit and cook for my mom and stepdad, who were recovering respectively from major surgery with complications and cataract surgery. It turned out that Mom and Ray were ready to fend for themselves and were starving for some peace and quiet in their apartment after the stream of previous caregivers. I had to call my friends back and cancel, and if I hadn't, I would have created even more stress for everyone, just added to the body count. If I had really heard and trusted what my folks were saying before I made all those phone calls, I would have saved myself some stress, too. What about examples of when we do listen and trust? In one of the Indiana Jones movies, a chasm opens before the hero's feet, and the mission can't be completed without crossing it. Indiana steps into the void in trust, and each step is met with support that he couldn't previously see. Have you had an experience like that? I often have this at work, when something I'm doing isn't bearing the fruits it should. On a good day, I then let go of my agenda, tune in more deeply, and let my hands do whatever comes. And what comes is invariably more effective than the ideas I had beforehand. Of course, I'm not always having a good day. Sometimes I'm having a day like Joe in the story. Then I need help. On a cold day, a hot pack or a hot bath relaxes my muscles, and my inner being begins to let go. A walk can also help unwind the physical tension, or an unexpected kindness, or the release of tears or laughter. Each of these eventually brings a sense of surrender. I stop being so right about what's wrong. My fear-charged tunnel vision begins to melt, and a wider field of possibility enters my awareness. I remember that it's not all up to me, that I just have to do my part, that the universe meets me halfway when I act from a place of trust. What am I trusting exactly? I don't really know. I call it God or the Holy Spirit. Taoists call it the Tao, the universal way. Surrender to the divine Ishvara is featured in the Yoga Sutra that I mentioned earlier. The name Islam means submission to the divine. And Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron would say, relax into the groundlessness. Groundlessness, translating the word shunyata, also translated emptiness, a field of infinite possibility and mystery. In the Christian faith I practice, this surrender is the paradoxical wisdom of the cross. St. Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians that the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. From a human ego point of view, Jesus certainly looked foolish and weak when he gave up his safety to keep faith with his message of inclusive, nonviolent love. Yet the integrity and consistency of his witness gave it a power that survives to this day, a power that filled his disciples then and now with an experience of his resurrection and his continued life in them. This past Wednesday, I received ashes on my forehead with the words, repent and believe the good news. These words invite me to surrender once again into the unpredictable and yet reliable divine mystery, trusting and believing that I will be met once again with healing, support, and guidance beyond my imagining. I invite you to join me in testing out that surrender that's softening, like the water in our Taoist quote, whose very yielding allows it to overcome stone. I invite you to notice how grace meets us halfway. As the Shaker song has it, when we turn and bend, we come round right, feeling reoriented and at home in the universe. May you find the inner softening that opens the way to your own deep wisdom, your heart's true home.